Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us here this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. We ask that you join us every Tuesday. And as you do so, feel free to take part. We always start off with song, with prayer, song, scripture, and intercessory prayer. So feel free to join us now as we begin. God, we come before you tonight, and we ask that you be with us as we go forward, and we're striving to become all that you want us to do and be. Tonight we are here, Lord, and we are trying to build a relationship with you. We're trying to grow. We're trying to become all the things that you want us to be as we're preparing for these end of times. We've listened to and studied Revelation. We've listened to when the enemy strikes, how to do spiritual warfare. And now, oh God, we've turned to Dr. David Jeremiah, who has a book on signs. And Lord, as we come before this book, we are learning that there are things that we agree with and things that we disagree with. But help us to use it as a point of reference and conversation that we might research your word and dig deeply into it so that we can truly grow and become more like you. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your mighty name. In the matchless Son of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say, amen. We are going to be praying later, and I think I see Margaret on the line, so I'm going to ask Margaret. I'm going to have a scripture for you.
Yes.
I think it'll be, I'm going to give it to you now. It is the, I think it, there we go. It is, where did I do with it? I think it was Timothy. There it is. What we wanted to talk about tonight was we're talking about materialism, and it was in Timothy. I think it was the here we go. It might be 2 Timothy 3,
yeah.
1 through 5.
Was it 5? Oh, okay.
1 through 5. Timothy 3, 1 through 5.
One through
and
five.
As we play the music, you might look through that and see if we might want to extend it beyond 5. So, but I know 1 through 5 is a good part. It may be a little more information in it if you wanted to read a little further. But we're going to listen to Yolanda Adams' Open My Heart.
Oh,
It's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid, afraid of disappointing you. For I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure I open my heart. Oh yeah. My hope and
Margaret's going to have a reading in Timothy, and I'm going to also read 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 when she finishes. So okay. You can read your scripture, Margaret.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers opposed the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen. 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 I'm going to read for you now from the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gave us all we need for our employment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And by doing this, they will be stirring up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Again, that's 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, New Living Translation. So at this time, we'll have our intercessory prayer. Did I hear Dr. Nooks on the line? I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. Who is Jerry? Are you on the line?
I am.
Would you be willing to do the intercessory prayer tonight?
I'm not sure I can, but I'm going to try with the Lord's help.
Amen. Just ask people what they need and then pray.
Right. Is there anyone with us tonight that would like to have your prayers up in front of the Bible study?
I have a... Go ahead, Margaret.
Jerry, I wanted to ask for prayer for my daughter, Sophia. The twins are not sleeping well, and she's just wore out and exhausted and sleep-deprived. So I'd like to pray for her to have a good night's sleep, and her husband too, and that they would have peace in their home. In Jesus' name.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Dr. Susie?
This is Dr. Susie, and I want to, number one, give a praise report. My family's doing well. They're healthy. I did get just asking that Travel Mercies back and forth along the road, and I asked for a prayer for a situation that I've encountered that I'm asking the Bible study to lift up at work so that God's will would be manifest and the power of God will show forth.
Amen.
And
is there anybody
also
else?
I also would like to lift up, I got a text a few minutes ago from Miss Shirley said that she wouldn't be in tonight, so we want to lift her up in prayer as well. She tried to see if she needed any prayer requests, but she hadn't responded. So I gather that their family had a loss, and they weren't available. And so we prayed for them last week, and we prayed for Eric. And I don't know who else is. Eric's on the line now, so maybe he'll know. But so I lift the two of them up. And Brian Michaud, lift him up, and his grandson, who has started his ministry on YouTube. So,
okay. Is there anybody else that would like a prayer?
Joan, Eric, anybody else? Who else is on the line? All right.
Nobody? Is there anybody?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I asked her add Brother Mateo. Add Brother Mateo to that, Jerry. I just remembered him.
Okay, before we start our prayers, or anybody else?
Hey, this is Laurie.
Go ahead, Laurie.
Hi,
this
Laurie.
Is Laurie from Tennessee. I have a cousin that her name's Mary Lynn, and her husband just died about 2 weeks ago, and I'd like to ask for prayer for their family, because I just saw on Facebook that now Gary, Mary Lynn's husband, his parents both have COVID, and his father is in ICU.
Oh, my goodness.
Just like to ask for prayer for that family. They're having it really rough. Thanks.
Wow. I didn't know that, Laura. Thanks for mentioning that.
And one more, Joey. Reverend Josephine Mann's daughter, Joey, has COVID.
Joey. Okay, is there anybody else? Okay, if we could bow our heads for prayer, please. Lord, we come to you tonight with our very special family, here at the Bible study, and I'm sure there's other people that aren't speaking up that have prayer requests for you. It's a rough time right now. We've talked about how the devil wants to get us and to take all our blessings that we have, and the devil's doing all he can to take our blessings away. So it's a really hard time right now. If we could have all the people in the United States and all over the world be blessed with everything that's going on. Thank you for this Bible study and for letting us hear your word and be able to talk as a group about you. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to do that. Some countries aren't allowed to do this. Some people can have Bible study. And I thank so much that we're allowed to do that here. All the prayers that have been asked tonight, if we could please help Margaret with her family with the twins. I guess they're having a hard time sleeping and things like that. And I can certainly relate to that, Lord, with my son that had I have twin granddaughters, and it can be a hard time for the parents. Please be with them and bless them and help them to get through the daily activities that we all need. And sleep is certainly an important one. Thank you, Lord, for what you do for us when it concerns family needs and things like sleeping. And just please be with Pastor Susie, Dr. Susie. Bless her. Be with her. Help her. Let her know that we all love her so much and that everything is going to be okay. Please bless her family. Be with her at work. Bless her work. And all the good things that are happening at her job with people coming to God, Lord, knowing that you're the way and that you're the way that can help them through whatever problems they may have. I know that you have helped me, and I'm sure most people in the Bible study, you have helped us through many trying times. And thank you for everything that you're doing with the veterans there and everybody in her group. Be with all the veterans here in the home that I'm at. Thank you for what you do for them. I also want to lift up Pastor Susie's kids and let them know what a special mom they have. And just call and say, hey, Mom, we love you. Thank you for letting us know about God and that God is in their lives. And they would just call and let God know that they're there and let their mom know that they're there. And, Lord, if we could just be with Eric and all of his problems that he's been dealing with his family illnesses, be with him, Lord. Take your hand and show what the Lord can do. Again, with all these trying times, so many sick people. And, again, the devil's really pushing when it comes to illnesses, and he's affecting people that really have a hand in God, and he's trying to say, oh, see what God's doing for you. He's letting your family be ill and have sicknesses, but we need to know that that's not true. The sicknesses aren't coming from God. They're coming from the devil, Lord. And thank you for everything that you do concerning that. Make sure to please be with Brian's grandson as he starts his new YouTube ministry. Help him, Lord. Help him to show what God can do in people's lives and bless the people that watch his ministry, and just be with him and let him know that he's loved, Lord. Be with Brother Mateo. Let him know that we miss him tonight and all his prayers and all his messages that he needs to get out there and make sure that everything is okay with them, Lord. And as my sister said, Laurie, be with Mary Lynn, Lord. Her husband has recently died. The family, myself included, really having a hard time with it. He was a very much loved man, and now his parents are going through a lot of problems with their health, Lord. So let them know that you're there and that you love them, and you will take care of them. And just be with everybody, Lord, and let them know that you're there and that all your blessings will be bestowed upon them no matter what's going on in the world. And I thank you again for this Bible study for myself, for my family in the Bible study, that we all love each other and we all pray for each other every chance we get. And let us have a good night tonight with Bible study. Let any questions that might be on what we're talking about be heard, Lord, and that we can discuss it and learn from your word. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You did a wonderful job, brother. Wonderful job. We thank the Lord for that. You know, all God really wants a willing heart. And then God helps us do the difference, whatever is love. He empowers us to do what we got to do. Now it's time for a roll call. So who do we have on the line tonight?
Jerry from Maine.
Jerry from Maine and Eric.
Margaret.
Hi, Eric.
Florida.
Hello, Jerry. Thank you for the
Eric
prayers,
from
brother.
Ohio. Margaret from
Florida.
Florida.
Hi, Margaret.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Eric.
Anybody
evening,
else?
Ma'am.
Joni, Maine.
So we get...
Hello, you guys.
Joan. My sister.
Hi,
Joan. How you doing, Joan?
Doing very well, thank you. Still hanging on, you guys. Stay hang on.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's see. Who else do we have on the line tonight? Who do we have with us?
Brett from Indianapolis.
And we Brett made it. Brett from Indianapolis.
Hi, Brett.
Hello, Brett, how's everybody?
Good.
Very good. All righty.
One
then.
Thing. One thing.
Yes.
I go for laser eye surgery Friday, so please pray for me.
Amen.
All right. Amen. So, let's see. Who else do we have on the line tonight? I think we got everybody. So I have. Jerry, Lori, can I read my writing? Got Margaret from Florida, Joan, Brett, Eric, and I think that's about everybody. Did I leave anybody out? If I did, forgive me and speak up. All righty then. Not too bad, not too bad. Well, let's launch into today's study. I know everybody has had a chance to read the text, and we're covering materialism tonight. And we have taken on the task of using Dr. David Jeremiah's book, Book of Signs, as a method of discussion, and we're using scripture to support our discussion. And we're also inquiring because we don't necessarily agree with everything any writer says. And so as we always say is that, you know, we come to the table. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. And so we want to reason and we come to figure out what it is that we actually perceive or receive or God has given us that we can share because we, like I said, we may not agree with everything, but there may be lots of things that we agree with. So this is our opportunity to dialogue about and to process what we perceive. And so we are talking about the 31 prophecies, and part one took us through examining international signs in which we looked at Israel, we looked at Europe, we looked at Russia, Babylon, and America. So we looked at all that international peace that was going to take part in some form or fashion in the end times. And now we're looking at part two, and it's focusing on cultural signs. Culture is that How do we define culture? Anybody? The norms, values, and traditions of a society or whatever it is you're analyzing, whatever group. So the norms, values, and traditions. And so part of one of the norms or the value system that is saying that we have enculturated or taken on is materialism. Do you all believe in that? Do you think we as a country are materialist? Can I get feedback from anyone? Do you perceive that we're materialistic individuals?
This is Eric. The answer to that is yes, and it is yes. Hockey stick, yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And does anybody, I don't know you guys, but I remember as a kid not being as materialistic, and maybe I just don't remember being that way. But it seems that just in my lifetime, things have changed. Does anybody else remember where the focus was not on money, but more on, I remember being more on community and being around one another. And
It was community. It was family. It was, church. It was school. It was, activities that surrounded around people. But years ago I used to say this, Madison Avenue changed the world.
Amen.
So the folks began to push out, stuff that you had to have, that you needed to have, and if you didn't have it, you were less than, average and this, that, and the other, and it just went crazy. And it's
no
even
Jones,
worse now. It was worse than keeping up with the Joneses. It went from the Joneses
Amen.
To the Rockefellers and whoever else, the Gettys and all of that stuff. I mean, you hadn't arrived if you wasn't driving a certain vehicle. You hadn't arrived if you weren't wearing, back then, remember Jordache jeans? Remember those commercials?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It went crazy. It went absolutely crazy, and it has not stopped. And nor will it stop until Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit decide that it's time to stop. And according as with what we've been studying, is that that will be towards the end of time.
Amen. Amen.
This is Bishop Michael.
We learn. Go ahead, Bishop.
And to piggyback off what Eric said, it affected everybody. Madison Avenue has had an impact even on the church because they spiritualized the materialistic things by saying, if you don't have this, you're not blessed.
Well,
I said it. Because I don't. I drive a Subaru and not a Rolls Royce. What's that song says? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. But it's like we become materialistic. And look at my Rolex watch. It'll still be 4:15 on a Timex or a Rolex. Same time.
Amen.
Bishop, you're right, but here's the rub to me, is that if you can afford a Rolex, that's fine, but you have people who can't afford a Timex trying to get a Rolex.
Well,
yeah,
come
and
on.
There lies the problem, is that
I got
you,
a question.
You, yeah.
How much is a Rolex? Since you're talking about a Rolex.
It depends on which kind you're trying to buy. It could be anywhere from $15,000 to $100,000. Depends on what you're trying to buy.
No.
I've seen one at $300,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It depends on what kind you're trying to buy.
Eric, this is Brett.
Yes.
The cheapest Rolex out here starts at about $150,000.
Now,
wow.
There's a jewelry store here. You can get one for $25. Now, it's base model.
That's a knockoff.
You can get one for $25,000.
Wow. but the issue is that's a car. You know, my goodness.
Hello. That's more than a car.
That's why, that obviously, I never thought about buying one if I have to ask you how much it costs. Some of us can't even think about it, so. Now I know.
But that's what's happening.
I'm a dog brother. Mark had two Rolexes. I'm a dog. I'm going to call my brother up and talk about it. Oh, so you had two Rolexes. Oh, my goodness.
If you can't afford that, and it's not taking away from anything else, and you're doing it because you can, but not to show off, to say, you know, I own a Rolex.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing. I guess that's the key. And you know, Dr. Dave Jimmer talks about that. There's nothing wrong with having money.
No.
It's when you begin to worship money. And the things that it can buy. And the things that you possess. Because now all you want to do is to get more.
And so what we want to talk about.
Materialism. That's the rub of materialism right there.
And that's what I'm asking for, Nick. What is define materialism? What is materialism?
What does a millionaire want?
Another million.
One more dollar. One more. Another million.
Inflation.
Another
inflation, Bishop. He wants another million. He doesn't want just one more dollar. He wants another million. Inflation.
Yeah. You never satisfied with what you got. Never satisfied.
And there you go. True. Yeah. That's well said.
So we're looking
never enough.
But we're looking, that's what we're talking about tonight is materialism, and the book talks about materialism as being a religion, the most powerful religion. That thing which is focused on serving, worshiping, that thing that people start to worship is money. So what you think about that? Do y'all think it's a powerful religion, or is that just kind of talk?
Well, no.
That's what Jeremiah
said. It is a powerful religion because the pursuit of that has replaced God as its center. So it is a religion.
That's exactly right. And that's why it becomes an idol. And God, what do we know about idols? Anything that we raise above God is not good, right? We don't want to do that. That's right, Joan. That's exactly right. So it talked about how Paul was warning Timothy, and Daniel and Ezekiel predicted that we would come to this time of moral decay, of struggling with materialism. And what do you think the results of this moral decay, how has it impacted our society? You can kind of list out some things that have occurred. One thing that has really done is the breakdown of the family is major. And how do you all see the family being impacted? In what way?
This is Jerry. I think it's been affected because the people look at more materialism than what they do about their family. What we were talking about before, people focused on family. Now it's all the mighty dollar and how much they can work and how much they can have over whoever, whether it's their sister, brother, neighbor, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it affects relationships.
Absolutely. Anybody else have something to add about the family? Yes.
I heard the story of a little boy that walked up to his dad and said, "Dad, how much do you make an hour?"
He said, oh, I make about $30 an hour. And he went and asked his mom for $30. He said, here is $30, Daddy. Can you spend an hour with me?
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's how it's affected.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can he spend an hour with me? Now, you know, because, you know, I
make you want to cry right there.
Yeah, it does.
Have mercy.
So, you know, yeah, what do we make it important? I heard a preacher say, no man on his deathbed says, you know what, I wish I spent more time at the office.
Amen. I say it all the time.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I should have spent more time fishing with my son.
Yeah, that's
all
enough, right?
But we've got a culture that has monetized the effort of doing that. So it's not about family anymore. It's about how much can you produce. Oh, and if you produce, I'm going to pay you more because the CEOs want to make more money. The shareholders want more money. Everybody wants more money, and so something has to suffer. So it's normally the family because you got to spend more time at work doing more tasks to generate more dollars for them. Hopefully you get more of it, and not normally always true. And so you have families that are talking past each other. You have families that are, the parents are missing in action. The kids are growing up themselves. You remember back in the day when the term latchkey kids came about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Predicated on parents not being at home when kids got home from school.
Yeah. Dr. Nix was telling me about his daughter was in the back seat and she texted him, and he was in the front seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is that's breaking down communication. We don't communicate. We don't talk. We don't connect. And part of that is it technology? Is that part of it as well? Or is it the fact that, like you said, Eric, we've been doing so much with our jobs trying to make the money that it has separated us even from being able to relate to our children and our wives and our loved ones that, you know, and we don't value that like we used to. You know, I'll get to it maybe, you know, and if I don't, well, they'll get their needs met some other way. Or maybe we even got to the point where we're so tired, we don't even care how the needs get met, if they get met.
True.
We want to meet their needs by things. We don't want to invest ourselves. We want to replace them with things.
And in addition to that, remember, most of us are old enough to remember when the family ate together. They ate breakfast and they ate dinner together and they talked at the table.
Yes.
To where you've seen some things now where mamas and daddies are saying, okay, no electronics at the table. Good luck with that.
Yes, a lot of folks don't even eat at the table no more. They don't even eat at the table no more, Bishop. Everybody eats at separate times. They're just going to get their food and going about their way.
And in some houses, they eat different things. Mama, I don't want fish. You know.
Well,
you know, they get
don't go there, Eric. I know your grandma would have a lot to say, wouldn't she?
This is Eric. I got two quick ones. One, my granddad worked in a foundry, and he went to work sometimes 2 o'clock, 3, 4 in the morning because, you know, pouring hot iron, you didn't want to be in the heat of the day. And I used to get up with him to be able to sit down and talk with him and let him know, because he wanted to know what was going on in my life, what was going on in school, sports, and all that stuff. I used to do that and enjoy every bit of that because I always had time, because normally when he got home from work, I was at school because he got off at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But on that stuff, everybody eats different stuff. In our household, If you didn't eat what grandmother cooked, you went to bed hungry.
Preach.
Well,
you weren't fixing it. You weren't gonna fix. She wasn't gonna fix anything else, and you weren't
and
gonna
you
fix
wouldn't
anything
either.
Else either.
That's right.
That's it. All right.
So if you didn't eat what she cooked,
you weren't going.
You would be your stomach would be growling in the night.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
and that's
Susie
how the family has
Brett.
Changed.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead, Brett.
Thank you. I just did something like this Saturday night to post on my Facebook for Sunday, and I took it way back. But for our conversation tonight, I just want to let everybody know that what we're talking about tonight. If you go back to the late 50s, early 60s, I know that a lot of people have seen the I Love Lucy show, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first time that I saw a motor coach that was drivable was on her show. I think it had like six wheels in the back and two or four in the front, but it looked ridiculous when you think about things now. But that's about the time that society started to break down. And I talked to Dr. Susie, it's been years ago, but one of my sermons I did was about a throwaway society, and that's what we live in today. Everything is throwaway.
Yes.
Yes. My dad took pride in everything that he did. He wouldn't put a product out the door unless he knew it was going to hold up for a few years. And he had heavy people come in and sit on some of the furniture and stuff that he made just to make sure. And today, people don't care. You go out and spend $2,000 for a couch, and the first fat person over 300 pounds that sits on the edge of it is going to break it.
You don't even have to do that, man. I'm a living witness to this just happening this week.
Oh,
I've got a cousin I've been helping to remodel a house that he purchased a couple hours a day. And he bought a couch and paid a sectional, $5,000-$6,000 for it.
Right.
He took it out, unpacked it, started putting it together, and the bottom part where, you know, the fabric is, where the bottom part of it, all the staples and nails were starting to come out of it. Just from unpacking it. Just from unpacking it. Sitting on it, not in use, just from unpacking it. And I'm like, they sent it out the factory like that.
Of course.
And so there you go. Let's talk about that, because what happened with that is that it used to be a time where people had pride in their product. And by having pride in the product, it would last and last and last and last. Sears Roebuck. Sears was known for their stuff lasting, and I don't think it ever used to break. Now, they'll make stuff to be broken. I mean, you know, they make it to last a couple of years so that you go buy another one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So they can get money, of course. We're back to materialism.
Right.
Over
money. Motor. Right. That's what it's all driven by. If I can make you buy more of them more often, that's more money to my bottom line. More money
there
for my CEOs making – the CEOs of these larger companies are making 200% more than their workers who are producing their products on average.
Have mercy. So what we were talking about was the question of materialism and how it had broken down the family. What are some other ways in which we see materialism impacting our society? We talked about the breaking the fast. What about substance use? Is that up?
Oh, yeah.
Alcohol and drugs?
Definitely up. Yes.
And why is that? How does that fit into the paradigm of materialism?
This is Margaret. Perhaps, as we read in Timothy, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, in 1 Timothy 6:10. So alcohol and drug abuse, that's just another avenue to go off in the sunset in pursuit of an unquenchable, never-ending pursuit.
That's right.
That is basically evil because it controls the person. That's it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
When we look back at Prohibition, when Al Capone made all of his monies, and we talk about all of his assets for even back then, how many of y'all would agree that $300 million is a lot of money? By today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so he amassed that kind of wealth back then during Prohibition. And so it's the greed. And like that scripture that Margaret said, the money's not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. That's where the evilness, you know, it branches out from drugs to prostitution to big corporations to buying a couple of preachers and having them preach their own doctrine. Oh, yeah, it's. It goes.
Come on.
It covers a lot of bases. You know, it's not the, you know, when you have rat poison, it's 90% corn. It's the 10% strychnine that'll kill you.
All right.
And so we got.
So,
yeah,
so this is Eric. So I've often said, This is man's quandary. We're always trying to find something to satisfy us, to make us believe that we are whole. Yet the only thing that could ever satisfy us is the Lord God Almighty who breathed the breath of life into man and make him a living soul.
Amen.
So mankind is on this treadmill or this wheel in the hamster's cage going nowhere fast. And the Lord is like, I'm here. I got the answer to all your problems. I can satisfy all of your needs. And yet you don't even look my way.
Well,
yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so that's exactly what's happening with materialism. That's exactly what's happening. We're having this moral decay that's involved with the breaking down of the family, substance use, alcoholism, addictive disorders, gambling and gaming. And I want to talk about this last one, cheating and bullying, because I think that's destroying our kids. Our kids, the suicide rate is higher than it's ever been, you know, the crime rates in the prison population. But the kids dealing with this bullying, I think this is interesting how materialism is impacting bullying. So can we talk a little bit about that? Because we got kids who are struggling with bullying, and they're committing suicide because they can't take it. So how can we see materialism impacting that? I know one thing had to do with some tennis shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Bishop.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it to where some of the bullies have almost like a little enterprise going where, you know, they They ask the kids. They don't ask. Bullies never ask. They demand that the kids pay some sort of, shall we say, tariff. Could be $10. Mm-hmm. It could be 10 cents. But they, you know, if you don't have the money, I'm gonna beat you up. And you follow that bully home, he has a bully. But the thing is, it's like it's that to get more. You know, even in Chicago where I used to teach, what are the gangs, what is their real purpose being out there on those streets? They're pushing their product.
Mm-hmm.
And if you venture into the wrong corner, that's where the artillery comes out. And we're losing 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 8-year-olds, an 8-year-old gangster. Come on now.
Well, Lord have mercy.
Over money.
A child. Yes. Yeah.
And they're running points for the big boys. They're the lookouts for the big
yes.
boys that are selling that stuff. Come on. And it's like, you know, the root of all evil. He gets, you know, you give an 8-year-old kid $1,000 a week. There's your hook right there. There's your hook right there. I had a kid. I had a Suburban, a Chevy Suburban. Said, dude, I want to buy your truck. I mean, he was 15 years old. He said, I'll give you $8,000. I was like, dude, you understand? Where does a 15-year-old get $8,000? The materialistic things that you know, he had that kind of money. But where does he end up when he's 16? Is he alive?
Is he in jail or dead?
I bet. And
thank
guess
you.
What? He sure ain't going to go work at McDonald's because, see, he no longer values that kind of work because he can get $1,000
right.
for what he did. Yeah.
But we have to address that. We have to address this elephant in the room, is that movies and television have glorified those things and shown them so much that these kids who are impressionable begin to believe that that's what's really going on. Now I do understand that some of that has already taken place in those communities. But if you keep seeing it over and over and over and over again, you begin to believe that that's really how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's
there
really
lies the problem.
Yeah.
And God help you if you speak against it to that age group.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what we're talking about. Yeah. And it's funny, we've been on this earth for at least, I'm going to give us a break, 3 decades. And we've seen, you know, what we've seen in our neighborhoods. We've read the news. We've seen the news things. And these kids don't even know that it's going to snow tomorrow because they don't watch the news. They don't listen to what's going on. They know the inside story from a kid's standpoint of view. And those of us that are filled with the Spirit of God and know and can see and have some sort of prophetic insight, we need to be able to speak to that situation. And not browbeat, but you know, with love and with kindness in action to reach them. Love covers a multitude of faults, and we can reach them with our love instead of taking our Bible and hitting them with all 66 books of it. That's going to run them
yeah, Bible
every time. Yeah.
Amen.
But it really goes to and for those who've been with us a long time, don't tell me about Jesus till you show me Jesus.
There it is.
I mean, we have a tendency as, and even, you know, Paul talked about that, appearing to have religion, but they don't have the power of it. We tell people we're Christians, which we shouldn't have to do. But we live in a way that doesn't show Christianity or Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And then people begin to wonder, like, well, you're doing the same things the rest of the world is doing. So you really aren't no different other than this title you've given yourself.
Mm-hmm. See, no difference.
Have mercy.
Some of them say, go this far. If that's what Jesus
Amen.
Does for you, I don't want him.
Right, right. So, I mean, the work is cut out. There is no easy way to tackle this, except as the old saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And it starts within your own home, your own community, your own
yes.
you know, city, your own state, you know, trying to reach one or two or whoever you see that God has placed in your path for you to witness to and teach and have conversation with. Makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, I used to work in the child care, child development arena for a few years and, you know, working with the staff and the kids, and, you know, you literally had to show them that you really, truly cared.
That's
as opposed
right, yeah.
to just trying to tell them, you know, what to do and why to do it.
Yeah.
So we look at, this has been really interesting to see how materialism is going to play a real big piece in the end times. And we've already known that it's been linked to Babylon, right? We've already talked about how the Babylon will have some of the wealthiest wealth that has been ever, that we've ever known. So we have all these links of wealth, of money, of materialism. And I got to believe that we're not the only country, come on somebody, who's struggling with materialism. I think this is, come on, what you laughing at? But
it's,
we're not the only one.
We're not the only country. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Yes, it is.
And
the enemy is using
it. Yeah, I ain't trying to pick on nobody, but look at the president of Russia. How does the president of Russia be the most wealthiest man in that country, period?
Right.
I mean, greed and stealing and, you know, browbeating and, I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Look at the Middle East countries with the oil. Do you really think it takes $100 to produce a barrel of oil?
Nope.
No. But yet that's what it is. So it's everywhere. Look at Kim Jong-un in North Korea. He got them people starving.
Yeah, he's something else.
The average person,
yes, he does.
The average people starving.
And he enjoys
it. And
he's
living in the lap of luxury. And calling himself a god.
Right.
So it's everywhere.
So as you mentioned it, our outline of the study talked about the proliferation of global technology, the polarization of prosperity and poverty, the priority of the oil in the Middle East, which is what you brought up, the preoccupation with money and material things, and the passive indifference to the warnings of God. So what to me was really important for us to kind of look at just a little bit is this talks about the rapture. What did you guys get from the understanding? It says, as an overview, it says, we discussed the order of end time events, the rapture, then the tribulation, then the second coming. Note that nothing needs to happen in order for the rapture to take place. It could happen today. I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, Lord, bring it on. I just want to go.
Yeah.
Just take me on with you. That just come get me.
Amen.
Take me with you. So one thing we know, if we start to see signs of the tribulation growing more certain, what does that mean? The rapture is getting nearer. Closer and closer and closer. So, you know, there was a time when folks said, oh, no, that ain't coming now. But I rarely hear anybody saying that they don't think the time is coming soon. So we're able to look and see with the environment. We see tsunamis everywhere. We see fires everywhere. We see the earth groaning everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We see all these signs of the times that are bringing us close to say, okay, we ought to be taking account as to what's going on. We ought to be looking at the fact that one of the things we said would happen is you would see these extreme polarities of the wealth and the poor. Look at the United States. What are you saying? The middle class is disappearing.
It's gone. You have what we call the working poor.
So
they've eliminated the middle class.
So all of this is taking us to our signs that we are to be very intentional about observing and knowing what's going on. So those of you who read, did anybody read The Polarization of Prosperity and Poverty? And the Revelation 6 through 19? Anybody read that section? Where it talked about the release of the black horse? Know. This is what Eric taught in tribute in the Revelation 6:5-6. It says, it describes the opening of the third seal and the release of the black horse. The rider is holding a pair of scales in his hand, saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Talking about worldwide famine. Worldwide famine. Mm-hmm. A time when the poor get poorer and the rich are living in luxury. Have mercy. Have mercy. What are we going to do? How are we going to eat? What's going to happen? Because we're not going to be able to do anything. Some people have talked about a financial reset and where it'll be based on totally different. And if, in fact, it's social, if it's based on socialization, it's easy to see what this is saying, how the poor will get poor and the rich will get richer.
It says a denarius. So, we're seeing that now, though. I mean, we're seeing that. You look at this country and, you know, 96% of the wealth is in the hand of, you know, 1% of
just
people.
Just a handful. Yes.
I mean, that's crazy. And you know, we talk about the working poor, that you work 40 hours and you don't get enough money to be able to take care of your basic needs and child care and all that you got to get federal subsidies from the government. Well, what sense does that make? And then you want to talk about people not wanting to work. Well, if I'm working and I'm working, you know, 2 and 3 jobs and I still can't get ahead, what's the use?
Well,
right.
So what we end up having is this big gap between the rich and the poor, and we see it happening every day. And, you know, it's funny how we don't talk about it when it's United States, but when it's any other country, we define that it's a third world country when you have extreme separation like that between the rich and the poor. But we don't talk about that in the United States, but that's exactly what we're having, a third world country.
Because we are a third world country.
That's exactly right. Because we've got mega
We want a lot of ourselves, but we are a third world country.
Come on. Yes, we are. That's hard to swallow for some people.
World here in a minute.
So, but we need to look at this. It talks about the priority of oil in the Middle East because Ezekiel is talking about 39, 38, and 39. They're talking about that invasion, remember, of Israel by this coalition of nations. So I think we talked about this. Didn't you bring that up, Eric? Somebody talked about it.
Yeah.
Where they were talking about the early days of the 7-year tribulation. And just before the rapture, it talked about how the war involves this coalition. I think that was Bishop who talked about how, you know, the war that's going to take place of nations that plan to destroy Israel and how Russia was going to be a part of that. Wasn't that you, Bishop, that talked about that?
Yes, ma'am. It was.
Yeah,
it was.
So here we are. And we're coming back again. We're seeing the motivation of this coalition is to do what? What's the motive behind all of this? What's their motive? Because we're talking about materialism. What's the motive?
To take Israel's wealth.
Yes.
And their big thing is oil. They want the oil. We have been preoccupied with oil for as long as I can remember. I remember as a child hearing them talk about they fighting over oil. They're fighting over oil. They want the oil. So that's what they're saying. At least Dr. David Jeremiah is saying that the coalition and the fight is going to be over is the oil. That's the motivation. And the Middle East is the site of the Garden of Eden. Remember that? It talked about how it had lush forests. And has anybody been there? Anybody on the line? Been to the Garden of Eden area? And that's anybody?
Well, it ain't lush
forest
now. It's sand and hot. It's a desert.
Okay. But it's supposed to be a lot of petroleum still in that area, right?
Well, but
just
that,
under
that's
all
right
sand.
because of the decay of the forest and the wood and the mineral. So that's why there are all these large oil deposits in that region. And there are those who believe that Israel may be sitting on the largest of all in that region.
So what this is saying is I like the way he put it. He said, Satan could finance the battle of Armageddon with oil derived from the decaying garden. Isn't that interesting? Oil from the garden that decayed. Because we knew that the Bible said that the Lord created the garden and put the man in it to till it, to take care of it. But now that the garden decayed, go ahead.
Yeah, and this is the same Satan that was in the garden who caused man to fall. So he's going back
to the scene
of his first crime.
That's exactly what he's doing, to continue to ruin and destroy again. That's what he's for, to kill, steal, and destroy.
But he going to get his.
he's going to be annihilated. That's Eric's word.
That's right.
He's going to be annihilated.
Amen.
But the reality is that the world's oil reserves are controlled by the Islamic nations, right? Nations that hate Israel, nations that hate America, according to Dr. David Jeremiah. And God is going to use the world's hunger for oil to do what?
To annihilate them.
Right, there's going to be a big war. They're going to be trying to get their hooks in that oil. And the reality is, you know, Ezekiel says in the scripture, it says, let's see if I can read it. It says, I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaw, and lead you out with all your army horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields. All of them handling swords. Isn't that amazing that oil has that kind of power? And it's being used to set the stage for that war that they're talking about. During this time, they're saying Christian persecution is supposed to increase. Spiritual warfare is supposed to increase. Christians are supposed to get where they don't care. Come on, y'all. I see some of that now. Come on. Do you all see that?
Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Most definitely.
And so think about that. Think about that. Christian, but I see Christians persecuting Christians. People who call themselves Christians are doing things that they claim are okay. And it's not of God. I remember them, you know. Well, I'm talking about the so-called evangelicals, the way that they treated people during that last election. You know, that wasn't, to me, godly. So
I'm still
struggling with that. So we're going to end this talking to Yeah.
Yeah. I don't consider them Christians because keep in mind what God said or Jesus said. There's many false prophets that's going to be out here. And we can't, or I'll put it this way, as true believers in Christ Jesus, how can you really put your weight, your votes, and everything else behind this religious group that seems to be in control because people keep talking about them? The thing is that they're not in control. And I don't care what church you belong to, the church, whether it be Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, whatever, church is not going to save you. Only by you doing what Jesus said you need to do.
Amen.
You have to accept him, confess. Right.
So Margaret read this earlier. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. 2 Timothy 3, 4.
Amen.
4 and 5. So, you know, they use that term loosely to identify and make people think that they're Christian, but they're not. They're not Christ-like. They're using it for their benefit, for love of themselves, to gain more, to get what they want.
By this,
it's
not right.
This is Margaret.
Disciples that you have love for one for another.
It so grieves my heart when I see these televangelists who have amassed just vast stores of money and exert political influence, and these are false prophets because their motivation is the continued, reaping money from the masses with their, cat calls for donations. But it's not going to truly evangelize the world. It's just going to themselves.
And that's why I have no respect for them. I got to say this. Any of y'all old enough to remember Reverend Ike?
Oh, yeah.
At least Reverend Ike was honest. He told you what he was going to do with the money you sent him. He'd tell you, I'm going to send you a platform, I'm going to send you some oil, but this is what I'm getting ready to do. At least he was honest about his. He wasn't right about it, but he was honest about it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we sit here and... Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to throw this out for information. Everybody knows where Greenland is located, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. When I was in the military, when I was in the Air Force back in the 60s, I went to a place called Thule, Greenland. And the ice and snow was so thick, you could only see the top of the telephone poles that had the wires that allowed you to communicate and brought in lights and electrical. It was 12 inches off the top of the snow. Today, the glacier, the biggest glacier in Iceland, has receded to the point that you can get out there and walk where you couldn't walk before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Global warming is coming, and you're going to see places like Manhattan and other places be fearful because they will not be able to hold the oceans back. See, things are happening according to what the Bible is saying, but we don't take heed simply because a lot of people don't believe. And when you
don't believe, that means agree with it.
There you go. You get what you get. That's it.
Well, as we look at this, the book talked quickly about Warren Buffett. Do you all know who Warren Buffett is? I didn't realize it, but Forbes said he was the third wealthiest man in the world, $80 billion net worth. Mm. And it talked about how he was a frugal person, actually. He was frugal. And it talked about he became preoccupied with materialism. And he hoarded money, increased money, he accumulated possessions, increases. And that's a part of what happens when we become preoccupied with materialism. We start to hoard. We start to, you know, increase money in the bank. We start to accumulate possessions. We start to increase our belongings. We start to want better things. And, you know, but that cost, it has a cost with it. And the cost is saying is that it leads to debt. It leads to discontent and debt affecting people's well-being. It leads to affecting our walk with God. Because the root is what they focus on is the money and not the relationship with God. And so what it's saying is in tribulation times, Dr. Jeremiah was saying that there's this big gulf we just got through talking about between the rich and the poor, that food is going to be so expensive that only the wealthy can afford to buy it. Now, look, y'all, I don't know if y'all been watching it, but do you watch what's happening in the stores? Have you noticed it's less food on the shelf?
And more expensive.
Have you noticed the cost of the food is going up? It costs $4.10 for gas up here, for premium.
Okay. And $15 for 3 pounds
of hamburger. These people are going to be in misery. The rich will be in comfort. Divided world between the have and the have not. But Apostle John tells us what we need to do. We need to begin giving. We need to give more than we can afford. We need to move towards our treasure. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Okay. And we need to realize the situation and circumstances that we find ourselves in. So what is, as we close tonight, I think, we need to look at closing. Can someone
25 after.
Close us? Can someone close us out, Eric, with prayer tonight?
Yeah. Let's go to the throne of God. Gracious Father, Lord God Almighty, we, your humble servants, come before your throne this evening, Father. We understand clearly, Father, that we don't have a right to be in the sovereign Lord's presence except for your gracious mercy and kindness that you afforded us through your Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that you could give was the blood of your Son on the cross, who was crucified, beaten, ridiculed on our behalf. They nailed him to a cross and placed him between two criminals, Father, though he was the Son of God. And after he willingly gave up his life, Father, he asked you to forgive the people, for they know not what they do. And I am a believer, Father, that it wasn't just the act of them condemning an innocent man. It was the moral decay and the spiritual wickedness and sinfulness that we would continue to plunge ourselves into, that he was asking that you forgive us. And after he died, we speared him in the side where blood and water ran out of his body, blood for the remission of sin and water for a clean conscience of baptism, so that we, through his death and resurrection and ascension, would be saved and not have to be separated forever. You have given us your word, Father, through men, that we could have a glimpse of who you are and what lies ahead for us if we would only pay attention and ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, Father. So as we come at this time, Father, we see all that is going on in this world that you have already laid out for us. Lovers of sales, greed, lovers of money, prison population explosion, people starving, people getting richer and not having a care about those who live in their communities next door to them, Father.
Jesus.
Wars and rumors of wars. The climate is on fire. The world is burning. And volcanoes everywhere. Earthquakes. Droughts. Floods in places that never flooded before, Father. We see it clearly. You are speaking to this world, Father, and it is falling on many deaf ears. So my prayer, Father, is that you, your spirit, your son, will protect those who belong to you. Guide them through these uncertain times. Reassure them that all is well, that they need not be afraid, because we trust in the one, the only true living God, who spoke into existence those things that we see out of nothing. Your spoken word. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You hold the key to those who trust and believe in you. And there are those will call on your name, Heavenly Father, but they may not be true to who they are. Prick their hearts this day, Lord, so that they may come to terms and understand that a repentance is needed and that we need to fall upon our knees and confess that you are God and you alone, that we have fallen short. There are those, Father, who are trying to find their way, Father, and I ask that you would bless them right now so that they may come to have a true, authentic relationship with you, so that they need not worry about what lies ahead for them, Father, that they may accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and rest, rule, and abide in their lives. They will surrender themselves to you for all the right reasons, for the spiritualness that will come to us. It's not about the things in this world, Father, for we carry nothing out of this world with us. It all belongs to you, Father, to be used for your glory. So help us, dear Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Be mindful of my prayer and others who pray the same thing, Lord. But we need you now more than ever before.
Yes, God.
And there is this small group right here that are looking for you, Father. If you come tonight, we will all shout and praise and glorify your holy name.
Hallelujah.
And even if that's not tonight, Father, let us be assured that we can wake up tomorrow and face another day, knowing that we have
Amen.
On our suit of armor and that we stand
yes.
in the promise that Jesus
Amen.
Christ gave us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, even until the ends of time. We stand on that promise this night, Lord, looking for your return.
Thank you.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Praise
come.
You.
We ask these things of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
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 You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our Bible study meets every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just let your fingers walk on the phone and dial 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. Remember, Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Until next week, everybody have a blessed week. Good night. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.